We're starting a little series on famous passages and where to find them. That's part of our year-long emphasis on what the Bible really says about. So today we're going to hear two versions of the Lord's Prayer from Matthew and from Luke. Now, those of you who have your worship guide with you, you already know where these passages are. Matthew 6 and Luke 11. We're going to start with the first one in Matthew chapter 6. And when we get to the message in a few minutes, I'm going to give you some more of the context for the two passages, the two places where the Lord's Prayer appears in Scripture. We're going to start with the Matthew 6.
If you want to look in your pew Bibles, it will be on page 5 in the New Testament portion in the back. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And bring us not to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. The word of God for the people of God.
From the Gospel of Luke, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 4. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. The word of God for the people of God.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth, O God, and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. This day we pray, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Let's think for a minute about all the things we do by rote. Thinking about that? How many things this morning did you do by rote? Hardly or barely thinking about them every day. Get up, make the bed, brush teeth. A little while later, I think, did I brush my teeth? Some people take morning pills and then think, did I take my pills? That's why some people have pill organizers, so you can look and see if you actually took them. There's lots of things that we do as routines or by rote, and we give little or no thought to them. And they don't matter much, doesn't matter much. It's easy for this prayer, the Lord's Prayer or the Our Father, to become rote, just something we say without thinking. My hope is that after today, we'll think more intentionally about this prayer. We think everybody knows this prayer, but that's not true. Recently, a pastor I know led a graveside service for someone they didn't know and said afterwards, I was the only one who said the Lord's Prayer at the graveside, the only one who seemed to know it. There's a funny story about this. One day, a woman told her friend that she had become a small group leader at her church. Her astonished friend replied, I bet you $5 you don't even know the Lord's Prayer. Why, everybody knows that. Said the new small group leader. It's now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Her friend was surprised, pulled out her wallet and handed her $5 and said, you win. I didn't know you knew so much about the Bible. I'm sure all our small group leaders know what the Lord's Prayer is. The prayer that's known as the Lord's Prayer appears two places in Scripture, and they are words that Jesus speaks. We read both passages today, one from Matthew and one from Luke. You know, we have four Gospels in our Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're going to leave John aside for right now because it's quite different from the other three. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the Synoptic Gospels. Synoptic means to see together or to be similar. Scholars believe that the Gospel of Mark was written first, somewhere around 70 AD, and that Matthew and Luke drew from Mark for their stories and sayings. Almost everything that is in Mark appears in Matthew or Luke or both of them. But how about the Lord's Prayer? It's not in Mark, but is in Matthew and Luke with similar versions. It's now widely held by scholars that Matthew and Luke had some other source for some things, like the Lord's Prayer, a collection of things Jesus said, a source that's now lost to us, but from which Matthew and Luke drew for their stories of what Jesus said and did. Sometimes this lost source is called Q for quella, or source. Both Matthew and Luke have Jesus teaching this prayer, but the stories about the teaching are quite different. In Matthew 6, the prayer is part of Jesus' teachings in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is near the Sea of Galilee, and crowds press in on him. He moves to the top of a mountain or a large hill, that's really what's around the Sea of Galilee, and he begins to teach not only his disciples, but all the people around him. And one thing he talks about is how to pray. He says, don't pray so that it's a spectacle, drawing attention to yourself. He says instead, pray like this. And it's not just a prayer for oneself, but our Father. In Luke 11, Jesus is down near Jerusalem, probably near Bethany in Judea. He's just visited Mary and Martha in their home, and then we are simply told that Jesus is praying at a certain place. And when he's finished, one of the disciples asks him, Lord, teach us to pray, like John the Baptist teaches his followers. And Jesus says, here's how a disciple prays. And he teaches them a simple prayer. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. That's where it ends in Luke. What is really in this prayer, in the Lord's Prayer? You know, we teach this prayer to our children, as I was doing earlier, and they can sometimes get a little mixed up. Like this woman who wrote, when my twin daughters were young, I taught them to say this prayer before going to bed. And as I listened outside their door, I could hear them say, give us this steak and daily bread and forgive us our mattresses. She said, we always got a good laugh over that. Or the man who said, when I was a child, I learned this prayer, as our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And I always thought that Harold was God's name. But this is, it's kind of cute, isn't it? Listen to our version. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want to point out that the Lord's Prayer is largely in the first person plural. Our Father, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation. It's as though Jesus was reminding his disciples and us that you can't really pray for yourself by yourself without somehow praying for others. Put it another way. When you pray for yourself, you're also mystically involving everyone else who has needs. We're all in it together. As Elaine St. John's once wrote, there is no way to pray this prayer for one person or one family alone. The minute I consciously address our Father, I was including my family, my friends, strangers, enemies. I was praying for them as well. I realized the universal intent of Christ when he gave the prayer to us. When we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, we make supplication not only for our own known and unknown needs, but also for the needs of God's children everywhere. You know, it's easy and common, I find, to pray for myself, becoming painfully absorbed in my prayer, asking God for all the worries that consume me. The prayer leads us to turn to our Father, who art in heaven. And we end up tuning into something bigger. Our hearts and our minds expand to include others. Jesus was telling his disciples, this is how my followers pray. Prayer is other-oriented. It'll take you right out of yourself, not just the daily bread I need, but something for everyone else as well. Please, God, our Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come on earth. Help us bring heaven here. Guide us to make your desires known here. Your will be done on earth. Guide us in doing what you want. Give us and all people the bread we need. By the way, O God, forgive us all for all our self-centeredness and help us forgive others. Now, whether you say trespasses or debts or sins depends simply on which church tradition you come from. Over many years, different church traditions chose one word or the other for their prayer, debts or sins or trespasses. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Keep us from the evil in the world, O God. Keep us safe, but also keep us from the temptation to do evil. Hold us close. Hold us close. And then there's the doxology, which doesn't appear in Scripture, does it? Not in Matthew or Luke, but added a little later, perhaps as the church began to sing this prayer. They began to sing, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And you know, some traditions you've grown up with, there's another forever on the end, right? Forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. When we say the Lord's Prayer, we followers of Jesus are praying not only for ourselves, but for all the people whom God loves. There may be some place on earth where this is more clearly illustrated, but there is a place I have been where this becomes abundantly clear. In Jerusalem, on the walk down from the Mount of Olives, you can turn into the church of the Pater Noster. Originally built in the 4th century by the Roman Catholics, with a new building built in the last century. On the walls of the church of the Pater Noster, and remember, this is in Jerusalem. On the walls of the church of the Pater Noster are mosaics of the Lord's Prayer in over 100 languages. Deeply moving, walking around, seeing this prayer of Jesus represented by so many people, so many cultures, so many traditions, we know that we are in this together. In the city of Jesus, in the city so in conflict now, there are over 100 representations of the prayer of our Lord, the prayer of our Lord. Last year when we were there, and you could spend all day in the church, the Pater Noster, reading, meditating, because obviously, you know, I can't read the Lord's Prayer in Syriac or many of the other languages, but you can meditate on each one because you know what it says. You know what it says. Last year when we were there, I was reminded about this personal story. Some of you read a piece of this in this Friday's weekly message. So when I was in seminary, it's many years ago now, I spent a semester as a student chaplain in a large medical center in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We lived in Racine at the time. I was going to school in Chicago. So I spent this semester in clinical pastoral education as a student chaplain in Milwaukee. Now, as students, you know how this goes. When you're a student, you are often on call during the night. So I usually slept in the on-call room rather than making this 45-minute drive home. Late one night, I got a call from a nurse on a medical floor saying that there was a woman who was very sick and she was asking for a pastor to come and pray with her. So when I arrived at this woman's room, she looked very small, very frail in the bed. She was not that old, probably about like I am now. She was not that old, but she was very sick, and she was alone and unconscious, I thought. She did squeeze my hand when I spoke to her, but she did not move or open her eyes. So, as we do when we are with someone who doesn't seem to respond, sometimes we just sit there for a while. I sat with her. I held her hand. I had a one-way conversation about God, talking quietly to her about God's love for her. And after a little while, I began to pray. I have no idea what all I prayed for. I prayed over her. To finish this prayer, I began the Lord's Prayer. And suddenly her mouth began to move, and quiet words started to come out of her mouth, from her lips. So I moved a little closer to her, and I realized that she was praying the Lord's Prayer with me. From deep within her, the words she had learned long ago came as an outpouring to God. In a moment, I realized that we were praying together. And more than that, we weren't praying to God, but that God was there, wrapped in our prayer, present and alive in the ancient Jesus words. We were praying with God, and we were blessed by holiness. When I think now of that experience, I picture that she and I were thinking not only of ourselves, but of her desires for her children, her grandchildren, others whom she loved, maybe even others she didn't know. I picture that she and I were thinking of our hopes and our longings for a kingdom both beyond this world and right there. When you pray this prayer, make it be a disciple's prayer. Jesus gives us just these few words, a few words that make life a lot better. Our Father, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. For all of us together, as Jesus intended, for us and for the world. I'm going to invite you to join me in prayer as I close. Please read the dark print. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Which is death, as we embrace your vision for life, that we might follow you safely through the obstacle course. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever, giving thanks for presence that defies definition in this life and beyond. Amen and amen.